My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's just what we're doing on this Sunday get together here on CBS Sports Radio, talking sports. Some big sporting events ongoing, including one coming up about an hour from now that we're going to go in depth with next. Jody Mack coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. All right, we'll be rocketing over to the coverage of the Suns and the Mavs about an hour from now. Game 7, all the marbles on the line. Yeah, it's been a home series, and the Suns have the home court advantage tonight in Arizona. Here to give us some insight to tonight's game and the way this series has gone. He's been covering the Suns for years for the Arizona Republic. Kent Summers joins me on CBS Sports Radio. Kent, how electric is that building going to be tonight?
I think it's going to be crazy. It has been throughout this round of the playoffs. This crowd went nuts in game five when they blew out the Mavs here. This is a team, you know, that this group thinks can win a championship. And obviously, though, I think the crowd will be ready tonight. It'll be really loud here at Footprint Center.
You mentioned the last two games of this series have not only been wins by the home team, but dominating wins by the home team. Suns opened up early on the Mavs in Game 6 and just kept widening it the entire time. And then you go down to Dallas, and the Mavs are on their last legs, and they fought like a team with desperation. They, too, big lead early, and it never really got close. Usually in the NBA, somebody makes a run to make it interesting at some point. Not the case in either of these last two games. Why do you think that was?
Yeah, it's like all of these games have been like that. Each team has won at home. Each team has been blown out on the road. These games haven't really gone into the fourth quarter yet. It's really weird. The Suns, just from the Suns' perspective, because that's the team I'm closest to, two different teams, road and home. And this has been a very good road team during the regular season. I mean, historically good almost. Right. So it's been a real surprise. Their problems in Dallas were, the biggest problem was turnovers. They averaged like 19 a game in those three losses. And the biggest question here is, you know, that starts with Chris Paul, their point guard. You know, in the last four games, he's really struggled. He has not played well. Big reason this team's lost three of four against the Mavs. So we'll see if he finds himself tonight. Devin Booker in Dallas was a different player. He had eight turnovers the other night in Game 6. It's a team that's just struggled to run its offense in Dallas. And when they get home, they get rolling. They've been able to get out and transition against the Mavericks and run. And that's really the Suns' game, is to get into an offense early and not let the Mavericks set up.
You sort of touched on it. I need more in depth. Chris Paul, last four games, not the Hall of Fame potential player that he has been for the great majority of his career. And last year, when they made their run to the finals, he certainly was a key aspect of it. Either what went wrong or bad with him, or what did the Mavs change and do differently that's had him struggle as much as he has the last four games?
Maybe it just had something to do with him having a birthday, I think, on May 6th and turning 37. He hasn't played well since he turned 37, but the Mavs have done an excellent job. They've forced him left. They've kept him off that right elbow spot where he has just made a living for 17 years. They've pressured him full court with Reggie Bullock, Finney Smith. Same thing that the Pelicans did in round one. And, you know, I think there's some concern among Suns fans that he's just been worn down. You know, that was the strategy of both the Pelicans and the Mavericks, is to pick him up full court, make him work bringing the ball up, be physical with him. And, you know, and the Mavs are trying to switch him all the time, so he has to be on Luka all the time down the court. And that's a difficult matchup and takes something out of him, too. So I think it's all of those factors. And maybe it's just, you know, Chris Paul just plain hasn't played well. I mean, no one in Phoenix has really seen a stretch of games like this for him, and, you know, in the 2 years since he's been here. And also, I think maybe playing every other day, which is what this series has been since it started, this would be the first time they played with two full days off, and I think that's going to help Chris Paul a lot.
Fair enough. And, oh, by the way, you mentioned the Pelicans. Last time I saw him against the Pelicans, he only made all 18 shots that he took that day. So the Pelicans' defense may have been a little bit different, but it hasn't been near as good as the Mavs or as effective as the Mavs' defense has been. You talked about Devin Booker and a sloppy game, the last one, 8 turnovers. Of course, coming back from the injury cost the Suns, what, $25,000? Because the NBA didn't like the way they reported his eligibility, and then he jumped back in when nobody knew he was going to be returning. How close to 100% is he? Is he still dealing with those injuries now, and part of the contributing reason he had such a bad game last game?
No, he's fine. He's 100%. The last time he was in this building in Phoenix, he had 28 and really carried them when they struggled a little bit offensively in the first quarter. And then he played well again in the fourth quarter. He's fine. He's himself. I think the Mavericks, he tried to do too much. They were struggling on offense, and he tried to play a little bit of too much hero ball, too much one-on-one, and you know, maybe for a good reason, didn't trust his teammates enough because everybody was struggling. But I, you know, he said immediately after that game, he's really looking forward to Game 7. Never played in one before. Started going into a little bit of NBA history, the Game 7s he watched as a kid, et cetera. So I think you'll see a very assertive Devin Booker tonight, especially in the first quarter.
I did a show earlier today in Philadelphia. We were bemoaning the fact that Mikal Bridges was a 76er for about an hour and a half before they traded him on draft night to the Phoenix Suns, a trade they certainly regret. He just seems to get better every single year for the Suns. How key is he in tonight's matchup if Dallas is going to be throwing lengthy guys out there? Can he be the guy who can maybe beat some of that coverage?
Yeah, he can. And in his time here, he's really developed him far more than just a 3 and D guy. He's added to his offensive game. There's no better defender in the league than he is. They put him on the other team's best player almost every night. He's tried to guard Luka Doncic in this series. It's been a struggle, but they've really, you know, put him through a ringer too, guarding Luka. I mean, they screen for him all the time and looking for favorable matchups. So that's been difficult, but whenever he is into it and active on defense and getting steals, this team is so much better. And he did that in Game 6. He had 4 steals, a couple of threes, really got out in transition. So I think him to have a big night is really important for the Suns too.
You mentioned that on the offensive end, when the Mavs have it, they're trying to run Luka off screens and get Phoenix to switch. If they can fight through and not have to switch much, does Bridget get most of the assignments on Luka tonight? I know that Booker gets some, and they try to share the responsibility of trying to stop Dallas' superstars and avoid either a Chris Paul or a DeAndre Ayton matchup against him. Who do the Suns want to see him covered by most of the time?
What has been, it's been by far Bridges most of the time. And right, then occasionally you'll see Jay Crowder come over, the forward, who's also a very good defender, very tough. And I think the Suns know that Luka's going to get his points. They just want him to work. They want him to, you know, have to dribble and go 3 or 4 different ways in the lane. And they want to be able to cover him singly as much as they can and close out on the 3-point line, because that's the Mavs game. They want to get, you know, 40-ish 3-point attempts up in a game and take their chances with that. And it's a good way to beat the Suns. It's worked for them three times. It's failed really miserably three times. It's just been a bizarre series. There doesn't seem to be much carryover from game to game. What worked on Tuesday night might not work on Thursday night, and then Sunday will be a whole different animal. Just a strange, bizarre series.
Ken Summers of the Arizona Republic talking Suns Mavs with us here on CBS Sports Radio. I just finished watching Celtics and the Bucks. Another game like many in this series. Very physical. If you're going to try and stop Giannis, you're going to have to be physical because he's going to physically take it to you. Both are physical teams enough to begin with, and when they match up against the each other, it becomes very physical. This series hasn't been as physical, not in comp to the Celtics and the Bucks. How important is refereeing tonight? Has it been an issue in your eyes for the first six games? Could it be tonight with the way the game is whistled?
Well, if you speak to Suns fans, I mean, they'll say it's a huge, huge part of the game. I mean, they feel like they were at a disadvantage when it came to, you know, officials' whistles, especially obviously in the three losses. The Suns would like to see, you know, a certain extent to let them play, and obviously they think Luka flops a lot, et cetera. You know, Mavericks fans would probably say the same thing about Booker and Jay Crowder and Chris Paul. No one's better in the league at drawing fouls than he is. But, you know, in terms of if you mean by a physical game, having an inside presence, I think that's huge for the Suns. They've got to have a decent game, I think, for DeAndre Ayton. He's one of the guys that the Mavericks can't match up with. They like to go small. They don't have someone his size who can defend him one-on-one. I think they would love to, the Suns would, to get in the paint, to force the Mavericks to help and to get the ball to Ayton in favorable shot locations. And then in the victories, he's been really good. And in the losses, there have been times where they just haven't gotten the ball to him, or he has a tendency to just kind of to float around and not have an impact on a game. And they can't have that DeAndre Ayton tonight.
Ayton is a key. You and I agree there. All right. And speaking of DeAndre Ayton, now I know Suns are worried about one thing only right now, and that's winning tonight's game and making it to a Western Conference Finals and getting back to the overall finals and take another shot at a championship. At some point, the season's going to end. Could be with a parade, could be with another NBA championship round loss, could be tonight, as a matter of fact. And then DeAndre Ayton's contract becomes a question again. They have not been able to come to a contract agreement with him. I give them all the credit in the world, mostly DeAndre himself, for not having an effect on this year where they were the best team in the NBA for the regular season. Is there bad blood here? Is this something that still can get done, will get done? What is your take on DeAndre Ayton going forward with the Suns?
No, there isn't bad blood. There really isn't. And it was a stark contrast, say, you know, in this town to how the Cardinals and Kyler Murray relationship deteriorated there for a little while over a contract dispute. And that never happened with DeAndre Ayton and the Suns. He voiced his displeasure. He felt like, you know, that he wasn't given the level of respect some other first-round picks in his class were given. Oh, you know, Luka Doncic, for instance. But he didn't let it bother him. It seemed to be the normal DeAndre Ayton. So nobody really knows what the Suns are thinking long-terms with Ayton. You know, the general manager, James Jones, keeps it pretty close to the vest. They didn't want to go to a five-year max contract last year. They were willing to do a three- or four-year deal, and obviously Ayton isn't going to settle for that. But, you know, personally, and I've written this as a columnist, he's done enough to get paid, I think. You take him out of this lineup, I'm not sure how you replace him or what the plan would be going forward. So I think as much as you can, you try to keep this team together, you know, win or lose tonight, win or lose, you know, down the road in the conference finals, or if they made it to a second trip to the NBA finals.
Let me ask you and again, you said the Suns are playing their cards pretty close to the vest, so you're going to need to interpret a little bit. The top two finishers in the MVP voting this year were true legitimate centers. Jokic is a true legitimate center. Embiid is a true legitimate center. The Nuggets went sent packing in the first round, the Sixers in the second round. Is it the fact that the Suns believe that a center is a nice thing to have, but it isn't the necessity, that max money players just aren't centers in this league? Do you think that's one of the driving forces of why a contract hasn't gotten done?
It could be. I think more likely it will be, you know, a year ago, Ayton still had a tendency through the first two-thirds of the year to, you know, not take a night off, but not influence a game as much as he should. And you kind of wondered at times where his head was at. I mean, he's an easygoing guy. He's a little bit goofy. I think the Suns wanted to see him in the gym more often, in the weight room more often, putting in extra time, et cetera. And, you know, and last year, right before the playoffs, he started to do that. You know, I think the words of Devin Booker and Chris Paul, you know, were finally being heard by DeAndre. He started doing all the extra stuff, and he was really a force in the playoffs, really, until they met the Bucks in the final four games of that series. I thought he did enough to earn the max extension at that time. I thought, you know, he had showed great growth and maturity. So, it's hard to tell what the Suns are thinking in terms of DeAndre Ayton, but, you know, a 6'11 guy who can move like he can move, who can play defense like he can play. I mean, he can guard guards and forwards at times, who can, you know, has such a nice shot. You know, if anything, he needs to be more forceful around the basket offensively. I just don't think you can replace a guy like that. So I think they ought to pay him sooner rather than later.
All right, we know that with 3-3, you did a good job describing how these games have gone. Surprisingly, not close. One team wins and usually wins comfortably in this series. If that's the case again tonight, it favors the Suns since all the home teams have won. We'll see if it shakes out that way. But prior to the game, having it be 3-3, even as separated as it has been in individual games, has there been a coaching edge? Would you give the edge to either one of these two head coaches on what's gone down in the first six games of this series?
Well, I think you'd have to give the edge to Jason Kidd. You know, the Mavs are a fourth seed. You know, it's his first year with the team. As he keeps saying, they're very young together. And I think he's made some moves that have had Monty Williams reacting rather than, you know, vice versa. So I think Jason Kidd's done a really nice job. You know, the Suns are the team that's supposed to be here. And as Kidd, I thought Kidd's done a nice job framing the whole series as there's no pressure on us. Everybody expects us to lose. And I thought he did a good job early in the series. In game two, I think the Suns really went at Doncic defensively, you know, and attacked him every time down the court. And Jason Kidd called him out a little bit after the game, said, yeah, you know, we've all got to be better, but Luka's got to participate on defense. And since then, you know, he's been much better defensively. And I thought it was a really good move by Kidd in a diplomatic way to say, basically, look, my superstar isn't immune from my criticism or me answering questions fairly honestly in public.
Good for Jason Kidd. I appreciate your honesty and your answer. All right. Last one is kind of a multiple choice. You can pick or choose which question you want to answer. Fill in the blank for me. If the Suns do blank this, yeah, they're going to win by double digits. Again, like they have in all four home teams in their four home games, and they're advancing. Or if the Suns do this negatively and or don't do this positively, yeah, they're going to get picked off in their own house. And their desire to get back to another NBA final ends tonight here in Phoenix. Give me one of the fill in the blanks there.
I think the first one, if the Suns take care of the basketball, they'll win this game. That's the reason they lost three games in this series, is they committed turnover after turnover. I mean, 17, 22 in the three games in Dallas. In Phoenix, they've taken care of the ball. They've been really crisp. Chris Paul has played better. So I think it all comes down to that, because if they're not turning it over, they're getting more shots than the Mavs, and this is a team that's usually very efficient offensively. So I think it'll all come down to, you know, taking care of the basketball tonight, which means also Chris Paul will have played better.
Going to be a key. We have point guard is running the show and doing so effectively. Things go seamlessly when he's not. All of a sudden, the warts start to come out. We'll see if they play themselves out tonight. All right. Appreciate it much. Kent, great job. Thank you much for coming on. Enjoy the game. We'll be reading you tomorrow morning online. Thanks, bud.
Great. Thank you.
Ken Summers, Arizona Republic, ArizonaRepublic.com. Been covering the Suns for years and will be courtside for tonight's Suns-Mavs Game 7. All right, Dirty Mac coming back. We'll get the phones reopened. Hop aboard, 855-212-4227. Join the Mac Man on CBS Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.